At this time, we will turn to Lord's Day number 24. Find the maroon booklet on the other side of your bench. We will read questions and answers 62, 63, and 64. You'll find that page on page 32. The last Lord's Day, the last little paragraph there was discussing what good does it do to believe all that God has revealed to us in His Word, what is summarized in the Apostles' Creed. Well, it says it's by believing and trusting God that we are righteous in His sight, that we are justified by His grace. Well, this next Lord's Day is kind of playing the devil's advocate in that it's saying, well, if we're saved by grace, justified in God's sight, well, what about good works? What role, what place, what importance does what we do have? Well, we will look and consider that these three questions and answers, 62 through 64, I'll read the question, we'll read the answers together. But why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? Because the righteousness which can stand before the judgment seat of God must be perfect throughout and entirely conformable to the divine law. But even our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled by sin. Do our good works merit nothing, even though it is God's will to reward them in this life and in that which is to come? The reward comes not of merit, but of grace. But does not this doctrine make men careless and profane? No, for it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. I think we are all party to the discussion, or maybe we hear someone saying, well, you have to do this or you have to do that. And we're quick to say, no, you can't tell me what to do. Don't judge me. You take a closer look at Scripture and the Bible's very clear. We might not like to be told what to do by the inclination of our hearts, but the Scriptures in every way and in most everything are very clear. In fact, I don't remember the exact statistic, but it seems to me that I remember hearing one of my professors saying that of all the Scriptures, 65% of them are invested in directing us how to live, what to do, what not to do. So does God care what we do? Surely. And so the discussion then becomes not does God care or does God lead and guide and reveal His will. The question becomes, and we're actually going to look at this morning's sermon a bit as well, what role do those things have in our lives? And so we will be quick to say that they are not salvific in any way. We're not going to be saved by our works. But when our hearts are transformed, when we are renewed, as that one question says, when we're engrafted into Christ, we will do that which God says. In fact, in our men's Bible study yesterday morning, we just finished up a book by Tim Keller, and one of the points was made that, you know, the imperatives of the Bible for the believer, for the child of God, become descriptive. And so, are they imperative? Do they tell us what to do? Surely. But they are to be a reflection of the desire of our hearts. What does it mean to love God? What does it mean to love the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, God is pretty clear. Absolute devotion. Unyielding commitment. If you love me, Jesus says, you will what? Keep my commandments. Do what I say. And so our good works are not part of our salvation. They are not the whole of our salvation. Why? Because all that we do is imperfect. God is perfectly perfect. And so any of our good works that are acceptable to Him are acceptable through the filter, as it were, of Christ's righteousness, Christ's perfection. And it is those works that God is pleased to bless. And the flip side of that, question 64, but does not this doctrine make men careless and profane? In the Reformation, that was really the chief complaint against the doctrine of justification. If you tell people it doesn't matter what they do, so the charge went, they'll just do whatever they want. They won't have the shackles and chains, as it were, of the Christian faith. Well, that fear mistakes the transforming power of the gospel in the human heart. When we believe, the Spirit of God indwells. When the Spirit of God indwells, our hearts, you know, like Jesus uses this negatively in Mark chapter 7, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so he says all of these sinful things arise here. But guess what happens when there's a new heart implanted into God's people? Then out of their mouth come words of prayer and praise. Out of their hands come deeds of kindness and mercy, a love for each other, a love for one another. And it is exactly that which makes that fear and the accusation against justification unfounded. Just look at that answer. It is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. In fact, I had an email correspondence this week. The law of God, the will of God, is not a have to. It's not a have to. For the believer, it becomes a want to. It becomes our desire. I want to wrap this up, but just draw your attention to the back page of your bulletin. There's those articles. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it is beautifully stated. The bottom paragraph there from the Canons, Article 11. But when God accomplishes His good pleasure in the elect, His chosen ones, or works in them true conversion, He not only causes the gospel to be externally preached to them and powerfully illuminates their minds by His Holy Spirit, that they may rightly understand and discern the things of the Spirit of God, but by the efficacy of the same regenerating Spirit, He pervades the inmost recesses of man. He opens the closed and softens the hardened heart, circumcises that which was uncircumcised, infuses new qualities into the will, which, though heretofore dead, He quickens, He makes alive, from being evil, disobedient, and refractory, He renders it good, obedient, and pliable, actuates and strengthens it, that like a good tree, it may bring forth the fruits of good actions. Beautiful, beautiful words. Crafted by our Reformed fathers at the Synod of Dort, understanding that while God does elect from eternity in time, He works in our hearts. He humbles us and draws us and vivifies us so that we love the things of God and grow to hate the things of sin.